Good evening, everybody. It's wonderful to see you here. We are carrying on our tour of Shacharis on Shabbos, and we are on the end of Yismach Moshe b'Matanas Chelkoi, just before V'Shomru V'nei Yisrael. And we were saying about V'Chosuv Behem Shemira Shabbos, V'Chein Kasuv B'Sorei Secha. That's what we're holding at the end of that paragraph there. It says, which is inscribed upon them, the observance of the Sabbath. We were talking at great length about the luchos, the fact they were square, the fact they were made of stone. What does that mean? It was made up of particles of sand. And all those concepts being sapphire and the letters on them we discussed last time. I don't know if we've already done this, but if we've already done this, it's good. Chazor, if we haven't done this, this is new material. The Siach Yitzchak asks why we say that the observance of Shabbos was inscribed on both tablets, if in fact you'll find it was only on one of them. Because the actual talking about Shabbos was only written on one of the two tablets. And yet it says, V'chosuv bohem. Look at this word, bohem. Inscribed on them, which implies both, Shmir Shabbos. That's not true. That's not true. Indeed, in your handy-dandy Art Scroll Siddur, you'll find on page 180 are the Aseret Dibros. And you'll find that the first five were inscribed on the first one of the luchos, and the next five were inscribed on the second of the two luchos, the second two tablets. So where does Shabbos fall? It says you've got to remember the Shabbos on number four. Shabbos is number four out of the big ten. So number four would be on only one. It would be on the first of the Luach A. Luach exhibit. I don't know which one was which. It was A and B. But whatever it was, because when you put them together, it was a square. It was on one of them. So how can you say V'chosuv behem Shmir Shabbos on written on them Shmir Shabbos when it should be written on it? You can't say on them in plural. Are you with me so far? Is this, you're hearing the question even. Says the Yerushalmi, the Gemara Shalmi in Shkolim 6:1. That all the Ten Commandments were inscribed on both tablets. Wonderful Gemara, but most people, all the Ten Commandments were inscribed on both tablets. So the Sich Yitzhak says that one of the rewards for observing Shabbos is that you'll be blessed with righteous children who will be conceived in holiness on Shabbos. What's going on there? What is he bringing that in? The mitzvah of Shabbos observance on the Aseret Dibros is directly followed by Kibud Av V'Aim. Number five is honour your father and mother. Number four is keep the Sabbath. What's going on here? Because if it's going to be fulfilled by children who were conceived in the Kedusha of Shabbos, they will also not murder, not commit adultery, and not do the other five final commandments. And those final commandments on the other luach is all ben Adam l'chaveroi. So the first set of the luachos are talking ben Adam l'makom. There the first five are discussing things between you and the omnipresent, you and the creator, while the last five are human social interactional laws. They're both equally important to God, which is why they come together to make one square. If you keep Shabbos and have children based upon that concept, the next five will be a doddle, basically, because you'll already be rooted in the first five. So when it says that it's written on them, oh, right, I forgot about that. Yeah, it doesn't always do it. Just started doing it last week. Yeah. Ugh, this is a very interesting it's like Big Ben, isn't it?
So it's not a shame for the clock.
What am I doing? Poor clock. Very, very sensitive. So it's like this. The idea is that each of the mitzvahs on the Sefer Dibros are interlinked with all of them. Shabbos is linked with Kibud Av V'Aim. And Kibud Av V'Aim is linked with all five on the next one. So when it says it's written on them, the concept of Shabbos permeates everything in Judaism, just like any other mitzvah permeates any other mitzvah. Kibud Av V'Aim is linked to Shabbos. And Kibud Av V'Aim is linked to all the social interpositional mitzvahs. So what it means it's written on them, what does it mean? First of all, you've got the Yerushalmi. The Alki Yerushalmi says, so the Gemara Yerushalmi, Shkolim 6:1 says that it's actually all ten on both of them. Okay, that's one answer. Another answer, what does it mean by that? One way of understanding that, says the Sikh Yitzhak, is all ten are intertwined with each other. They're all linked into one idea. One leads on to it. What does it mean, Shapiris Behem? It's written on them. You can't take the concept of Shabbos out of the concept of all the other mitzvahs, Ben Adam L'chaveroi. You're not going to do those and not keep Shabbos or vice versa. It's all one idea. This is one mode of life. See, the effect of Shabbos continues to the end of the first tablet, Kibud Av V'Aim, and on to the second. And that's why it says, on them, written on them, says the Siach Yitzhak. And that's why he says the phrase Shmir Shabbos is used rather than Lishmo Shabbos. That's very, very good. That's a very, very good grammatical point. Lishmo Shabbos means to observe the Sabbath in a command form. It should be, you should say, is that person Lishmo Shabbos? Not Shmirat Shabbat. What's the Shmirah? Shmirah is guarding or something like that. So the phrase has two meanings. Number one, it's like this. There's the command that Bnei Israel must observe the Sabbath. That's pretty posh it. Two is that the Sabbath itself guards them. It guards Klal Yisrael. While I was the Gulf War, in Eretz Yisrael, the first Gulf War, only one man died by a Scud rocket. And it was in Bnei Brak. There was a guy on a moped that used to, now the wife, it's very interesting, they always used to eat at home, this couple, and the wife never ate out. But that one particular week, his wife decided she's going to go visit a family friend. So she went out, and he was an individual who used to go around on a scooter, round Bnei Brak, shouting at the Frum people, going, you idiots, keeping Shabbos, you're keeping Torah, he was an idiot. He was really, really mummish. In Eretz Yisrael, you get people who are very... They have to be, it's an interesting thing. In England, you don't get people that quite anti-Frum. But you get people, I remember going into a shop in Cologne and there was a bottle of wine there that said, Lo Kasher. Just make a regular Goyisha bottle of wine. I know it's not good. Now, this one, we went out of our way to make it non-kosher. We mummish got not to pee. They really, because you understand, in Eretz Yisrael, there's so much Kedusha, there has to be such a pull away from it. So this guy used to go around, driving around, saying it was that house that the Scud landed on and killed him. And they asked, they were bottom of the time, why is it that the Scud would land here? He says like this, if you don't keep the Sabbath doesn't keep you. If you keep the Sabbath keeps you. Shmira Shabbos is not so much you guarding the Shabbos, but the guardianship you gain from the keeping of Shabbos. That's why it's not Lishmo, it's not totally active from me. It's a dual relationship. I keep you, you keep me. It's like a husband and wife. We're a team. I keep the Shabbos keeps me. If you are flagrantly not keeping Shabbos, you're flagrantly don't get me. You're going to get the protection, the shmira, the protection of Shabbos. It's a dual-way street. Notice we bring the verse from Kisiso, Vashomru, Vnei Israel, as a proof to both these ideas, because it refers to a bris of Shabbos between us and Hashem. A bris is an unbreakable covenant between us and someone else, rather than the words of Seret Dibros, which only refer to the command of Shabbos. We say, V'shom v'nei Yisrael, la'asos esa Shabbos d'orosan b'ris olam. That's not what's on the Ten Commandments. That's in Parshas Kisiso. So how come it says what's written on them, and so it says in your Torah? Rather than saying so it says on the Luchos, so it says later in Parshas Kisiso, because we want to use the word bris. It's a deal. It's a deal. The good question is, it's right over here. If it says what's written on your Luchos, I expect him now to quote verbatim the Ten Commandments, including number four. He says, no. It's written on the Ten Commandments, but it's written elsewhere in your Torah about Shabbos. Why jump? Just, if you're talking about the Ten Commandments, talk about the exact wording that was on the Ten Commandments. No. Talk about it in Parshas Kisiso. Why? Parshas Kisiso mentions a bris, and it doesn't mention bris in the Ten Commandments. What am I getting out of that? That's the concept of Shmira. Shmira is, you guard me, I guard you. Bris Mila guards you, by the way. The Kedusha of Bris Mila envelops you, whether you like it or not. And that's why we're so mukbid that a boy does have his Bris Mila, because we know that the second he's walking around with a kosher bris mila, for the rest of his life, he is garbed by a certain level of protection. And we want that for him. The Anaf Yosef quotes the Avudraham, and he suggests the word bohem. What's the word bohem? V'chasuf bohem, shmira shabbat.
Bohem in the modern Hebrew is staring at someone.
But over here, and which is inscribed on them, it means them. It means them. Bohem means them. V'chasuf bohem, and written on them, Shmirat Shabbat, which is the guarding of the Sabbath, right? In my best possible Sephardi accent there to compliment for you. But the word bohem means them, and written bohem on them. Yeah? So let's what is it we're talking about here? It doesn't refer to the Luchos. What is it refer to? So far we've been saying, and written on them was automatically referring to the content of the Luchos, because we reference to Shnei Luchos Avonim Horid B'yadoi for Chasuf Bohem Shmira Shabbos. So it's pretty simple to think that the word Bohem on them is talking about the two tablets, right? That's enough. Yosef says no. He says it's referring to two words, Zohar and Shomer. The words remember and protect, the concept of Shabbos is written on them. What's going on there? Zohar was said first, and then after the the desecration of Shabbos by the individual who gathered sticks in the Midbar, the gift of Shabbos was rescinded. And Hashem gave it again as a warning to guard it. In fact, that's one of the ideas. He actually gave up his life. He committed suicide because he saw people were not being so careful about Shemir Shabbos. And he was willing to desecrate it in public so that Hashem should show everyone just how severe it is. And then people started really shaping up. And that's where the Shemira came in. First was Zachor. I remember it. Yeah, there's this idea. God created the world 6 days. I got it. But we were a bit lax about keeping it. I get the idea. Enough is enough. Then I saw what they did to that guy, and now I'm going to start learning Hilchos Shabbos. You know what I mean? Start thinking, you know what they mean, business. So in which case, I'm going to do the Shmira. However, notice only Shmira Shabbos is referred to in this phrase, and not Zechira Shabbos. V'shomru v'nei Yisrael es haShabbos. What about Zachor? There's no Zechiras mentioned here. So that Anaf Yosef says, this is because the phrase is used in conjunction with Shabbos, 7 times in the Torah, corresponding to the 7 days of the week, where Zachar is only mentioned once. So the concept of Shmira Shabbos comes in 7 times. Why? Because 7 days of the week. Zachar es Yom Shabbos only happens once. So the Ian Tefillah says another answer of why Shmira Shabbos is mentioned here rather than Zechira Shabbos. It says, V'shomu v'nei Yisrael es Shabbos la'asos. Right, that we've got, sorry, V'chasuf b'him Shmiras Shabbos, I'm sorry, Shmiras Shabbos, why Shmira not Zachor? So the Ian Tefillah says as follows, he says, this Tefillah is specifically speaking about Moshe descending from Harsinai with his face shining, which we talked about last time. And that was when he had the second tablets. And the second tablets were inscribed with the word Shomor, while the first tablets were inscribed with the word Zachor. So the Rekayach says that Shmira Shabbos is mentioned to emphasize that even though it was only mentioned in the second Luchas, it's still important and it's referred to in the Torah in Parshas Kisisa, and therefore it's not something that we're going to downplay just because it was mentioned on the second set of Luchas and not on the first set of Luchas. So far, so good. The Chassam Sofer says that the word Zachor was said in the first Luchas before the Chet of the Eagle. That's true, because the first Luchos were before the Chet of the Eagle, right? When Bnei Yisrael performed no Malacha. The main aspect of Shabbos there was Kiddush and Havdalah. That's how they kept Shabbos. That's how the idea was going to be. Kiddush and Havdalah. And what's that? Zachor. I remember Hashem created, I make Kiddush. I remember it's now the weekday, I make Havdalah. After the Chet of the Eagle, and the necessity to perform Malacha, especially building a Mishkan, which is where we learn out all the Malachas of Shabbos from, and the Mishkan was there to act as an atonement vehicle for Klal Yisrael after the Chet of the Eagle, then the word Shomer became more significant to us. And it was therefore mentioned in the second set of Luchos because that's going to become more important in your Shabbos now. Notice you ask if someone, you want to ask if someone's from, what do you say? You say, are they Shomer Shabbos? Why don't you say, aren't they Zachor Shabbos? It's 50-50, right? The Torah says it both. Say, do they remember the Sabbath? Not do they guard it?
One sounds a lot more active.
It sounds like
The concept of Zechiras is also active.
Something very easy. I remember. Yeah.
But it's a lot easier.
Shomer is like, I'm getting stuck in, you know?
Okay. Observing. So notice the observance now, as we say, I'm Shomer Shabbos, don't say I'm Zachor Shabbos. But it would mean the same thing. Kodesh Baruch Hu said Zachor and Shomer in the same words. We heard it as one word. Yeah. So why don't we say, is the guy Zachor Shabbos? We don't. We say it's Shomer Shabbos. That's because since the necessity of the Mishkan after the Chet of the Eagle, our main role in Shabbos is the Shmira, to fix up. It's not just a concept in our minds like Kiddush and Havdalah. I remember this, it's a beautiful thing, I've got to think about it. I've got to do it now because I'm on a lower level because of the Eagle. The Eagle changed everything.
Yeah, but also if you Shmira Shabbos, then straight away you could be Zachor.
And vice versa, you know, because you'd argue it out the other way. If I'm Zachor Shabbos, I've got to do Shmira. You can't remember it if you don't keep it.
No, I can remember it, but I don't have to keep it. But if I'm keeping it,
there's no remembrance of that keeping. It's ridiculous. I remember I'm Jewish. I just eat pork on Yom Kippur. I don't have to keep the laws. I just remember that my mum was Jewish. That's all. Oh, the Rambam says on Shemois 28, this is Ramban. He says the word Shomor was written on the first tablets and Zachor on the second. Mamish Bambakasha, everything we said, blown out the water. We just had the whole thing. Zachor came first, Shomer came after, and then we had the whole thing before the Eagle and after that. And they says, no, the Ramban says on Shemois 28, which is the other way around. First set of Luchos had Shomer. And when Moshe reviewed the Ten Commandments in Parshas Vayeshanan, he mentioned Shomer to inform Bnei Israel of what had been inscribed on the first set that had been broken. What do we do with what we said? In either case, the term Shmirah Shabbos is significant because it reminds us of our bond with Hashem, which is strengthened by refraining from Malacha on Shabbos. And that bond is most potently felt by us today post-Egel through the physical keeping of the laws of the Sabbath. That's the bottom line. V'chein kasuv b'sora secha. And so it is written in your Torah. Right? Quoting Parshas Kisiso coming up. Now, we've referred to the Luchos where you were written Shomer V'Zochor, right? But those are verses from Parshas Kisiso. Now, why is this going on? We've got to talk about this. Why aren't we quoting the Ten Commandments here? Now, we've said there's reasons that we gave earlier as to why we're not quoting the Ten Commandments, because of Bohem and Socha V'Samba together, and it's actually written on the concept of doing and mind and all that. Okay, very, very nice. There's Christians that come in here as well. It used to be that we used to have the Ten Commandments and part and parcel of our prayer liturgy, and it was taken out by the Goyim. We need to discuss here a bit of Siddur history. The apostates, the early Christians, purported that the only relevant commandments in the Torah were the Ten Commandments, and everything else was nonsense. They dumped everything. If it wasn't in the Big Ten, they didn't keep it. Early Christianity only looked at the Ten Commandments. Now remember, there's always been factions in Judaism. The first thing to go in the bin is the entire oral law. Sadducim, Sadducites, anyone that isn't regular, the Reform, is you take all of Shas and you just put it in the bin. It doesn't matter what the Mishnah says. It doesn't matter about all that. Oh, that's mumbo jumbo. The only thing that matters is the written law. That will take on. That's group one. Then there's group two, when they start chopping things out of the written law that don't suit them. Then there's group three. There's no written law except for the Ten Commandments. Everyone holds to the Big Ten. That's early Christianity, right? It's now only going by the Big Ten. Now, how did this is really important? I'm going to tell you about it. It's really, really important. I'm telling you here. It's a bit of Jewish history, but how yeshivas developed, quite a lot going on here. Whenever there's a strike out against Judaism's philosophy about what's important and what isn't important, we have a stock response. If you turn around and say the most important thing in the world is X, what do? We downplay it and say, ah, it's not that important. You're missing the point. They said the most important thing is a certain difference. These are the words of Hashem. A certain difference. That we accept. We accept Moshe as a prophet. A certain difference. Yeah. You know what we do? We take it out. No, it's not that important. It's not that much more important than anything else in the Torah. So you know what? We'll take it out of the Siddur. It was in the Siddur. So we literally cut it out. That's why it's on page 180. Chazal, it still says that it's still good to say this there's a difference every day. But we can't put it in as the regular Torah liturgy because it used to be that Christians used to say this is the only thing that we do. So now that we've taken all this out, it's still good that you still say it at the end of davening because it used to be said in davening. Yes, Seder Dibrot. Yeah? It used to be during the Temple era that the Ten Commandments were recited as part of the Shema service every morning. But because the heretics denied the validity of the Torah and accepted only them, we chucked them out and said, say it at the end, we don't care. We know the truth. So because we know the truth, and they're coming along saying that only the matters of the Ten Commandments, and we were davening the Ten Commandments as part of the Shema and the Brachos around the Shema, we'd say all the Ten Commandments. So we stopped saying it. To prove a point, it's not that important. That's not the be-all and end-all. You've got the whole Torah. This is making sense. So you see what we're doing? Our response to people's overestimation of a particular thing is to downplay what they're saying is overly important. Do you hear that? That's a very important rabbinic response. We're going to see that's had a lot of effect on modern yeshivish learning, which we're going to discuss in a minute. Are you with me so far? Strapped in? So in order not to confuse people about the significance of the Ten Commandments, they weren't recited as part of Tefillah. And according to others, some Rabbonim actually prohibited the recitation of the Ten Commandments in public. As not to give any credence to it whatsoever, because these nutters are jumping up and down, saying all that there is the Ten Commandments. So we say, you know what, you're not even allowed to say it. You can say it when you're doing Shlemi for Echot Tachim, when you're learning Torah, but to stand outside in the street and to say, Anochi Hashem, you can't do that, because you sound like a Christian. That's what the early Christians were doing. Are you with me so far? It's interesting, no? Very interesting. The Rambam on Tshuva's Rambam extends this prohibition to the custom that even those who normally sit for the Torah reading and stand when the Ten Commandments are read in Parshas Yisro and Veschanan on Shavuos. He says there's a question whether or not you should stand for it. Because if you're standing for it, you're saying that's more chashuv than something else. And it's Christian to say it's more chashuv. So that's a shaila whether or not you should stay for it. Sit down, it's like any other piece of Torah. Don't go off. You hear this? Because, do you hear? It's crazy, but it's not fair. But again, we used to daven like this. Now we can't do anything because going to that. We used to bow on the ground. Can't do that. Muslims do that. We used to daven like this. Can't do that. Now we have to daven like this. If someone takes that, we'll have to figure out something else. Yeah. The Mishnah process, we don't have to daven like because nobody else does that. Anything we can do to downplay the... these people are attributing inappropriate importance to certain parts of the Torah and inappropriate unimportance to anything else in the Torah. So we balance it out by saying it's not like that. The whole thing's one, and unless you've got the whole package, nothing else matters. It's the whole deal. It's total commitment here. You know what I'm saying? That's like saying certain things in my marriage are very, very important, but other things aren't. Like living together. It just isn't important to me. That's not what a marriage needs. You know, it's like a marriage is a whole commitment. Either you're in it, do you know what I mean? You can't say... As a result of the sage's prohibition, the verses concerning Shabbos and Aseret HaDibros could not be put here. So we need to wanted to say, and what's written on them, the Luchos. Yes, we've had a why we put in Shmir Shabbos. You can't put it in there because the rabbis have prohibited saying the Ten Commandments as part of a prayer because of the Christians. So of course we have to take it from somewhere else. As I said earlier, it matters a tremendous amount. Because other religions are putting too much emphasis on it and saying that Judaism missed it, we have to always stand for the truth, and that's why we do it.
Yeah, but if we were saying the same thing as us, imagine if we walked into this, you know, to town and they were reading proper Hebrew, the same prayers that we are.
Not the same. I'm just saying, why not mention the Aseret HaDibros? You know, that's important.
So we
because
don't.
Of them, we don't mention.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. That's absolutely right. Do they say it's important? We say it's no more important than anything else.
It stops us getting confused. It stops people getting involved in these arguments.
That's what the Rambam says. It stops confusion.
We're not doing it anymore. We're not even like on the level. We don't know. I don't know what these 10 commandments things are. I don't know.
Now, I want to say that it's very interesting that how do we see Chazal deal with overemphasis? We always downplay it. The Haskalah movement that happened in the 1920s, early 1900s, 1920s, what did they say? Shas is nonsense. And it's grammatically incorrect, which it is. We don't care. In fact, in the halacha, one of the first halachas I learned with Rabbi Dan Wiener showed that there's grammatic inconsistencies in the basis. It doesn't matter. It says, yeah, it's male, it's female. It doesn't matter what gender it is. It doesn't matter. You get the law. The law's more important than whether it's grammatically correct. They said the only thing which is grammatically correct is scripture. Scripture is grammatically correct. What you should learn all day is Nach. Tanakh especially, but Nach, especially Isaiah, they really pushed it. What did the yeshivish world do in the 1920s? They dropped all Nach from the learning system. And they said Gemara is the most important thing because the Haskalah movement is saying Gemara is nothing. So what do? We always react in kind. If you say Tanakh is the most important, we drop Tanakh and we boost the oral law, which is why today we've not recovered from that. And in the yeshivish system, no Nach is learned. It's Gemara. It's no Nach. They don't teach Nach. In yeshiva, because of the Haskalah movement, it's not on the Seder.
How did they deal with the intellectual philosopher, you know, Hashkofer? The Haskalah were really going into the yeshivas, weren't they, and turning their heads?
But
how did they? How could they deal?
Zvi Mecklenburg, the Kesava Kabbalah, and Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, and many others spent their entire lives eating those arguments up for breakfast. To actually bring the argument and destroy it. There were strong rabbinic oppositions to the scholar, which won out. The scholar has now disappeared.
Sure.
And those great rabbis, like Rashi Vaklinsburg, the Kesava Kabbalah, see what they did is they went through it saying, we know Hebrew better than the rabbis. And they showed up where there's problems anywhere in the Torah or in the Gemara. So see, Mecklenburg made it his whole life to make a sefer called the Kesava HaKabbalah, the written and the received, linking every letter of the Torah to every letter of Shas, where you think there's a problem, I'll explain to you why it's absolutely perfect, according to our traditions, which may be above regular grammatical rules. And he wrote the treatise, Kesava HaKabbalah, which is now one of the classic Jewish texts.
Sure.
It's very interesting idea as to why today they don't learn Nach in Yeshiva. This is a direct response to the Haskalah movement, exactly the way that Chazal related to early Christianity by taking the Sursum Tempus out of the Siddur. You think that's so important? We'll dump it. In fact, you can't even say it outside aloud. It's just not that important. Get on with Tyrone Mitters. No, no, drop the Tyrone Mitters, only do the Sursum Tempus.
Got to hear the basics, learn the basics.
Yeah, everyone, rabbi, everyone managed it. The Secular Zionist Congress stated that its mission was to secure a home for the Jewish people in Eretz Israel and to guide the education and culture of the Jewish people in that state, to create a new kind of Jew which was defined by a nationalistic identity, not by Torah identity. That was the job. Rabbi Avraham Yitzhak HaKohen Cook wrote in the Torah magazine known as Hapeles that if secular Zionists continue to emphasize nationalism as a substitute to Torah, the Torah world would have to de-emphasize the importance of Eretz Israel as not to confuse the masses, just like in the time that Chazal in the Gemara de-emphasized the uniqueness of the Sefer Dibros. Now, although Rav Cook did change his opinion, the other Gedolim didn't, and to take any mitzvah out of context in the Torah and give it some kind of unique importance is kfirah. If you say the most important thing is Shechita, and all other mitzvahs are secondary to Shechita, you're kofa. If you say Makeh, putting up a parapet, is more important than Shechita or any other mitzvah, you're kofa. They're all important. HaKadosh Baruch, it's like this water pours into a cup, and the Torah fills the container it's in perfectly. That's why it's called Mayim. You can't say one molecule is more important than that. It's all, it's got to fill the cup based upon what the cup is. If you say I'm only going to take this chunk of it, then what about the rest of it? You're saying the rest of the Torah is nullified somehow or less important and that God somehow has missed the point, chas v'shalom. The whole Torah is all one. You got it. It's a package deal. When you go into mikveh, everything has to toivel. You can't leave your hand out. You go, yeah, everything can be toivel, but not this. In which case, you haven't toivel at all. It's a complete commitment to the whole... Some of my guys, you can't say, yeah, I'll take on 600 of them, but those 13, I ain't doing. Those are just out of... I'm not doing that. Ooh. Well, then don't join. Ooh. Don't join. It's a commitment thing. Nasa Venishma was not, yeah, if we like it. Yeah, well, tell us what it... Do we like... That's what the guy said. We don't like it, so we ain't doing it.
But fuck sorry, Rabbi, I'm hearing a contradiction here. Because one is saying it's all... And then one, you say, no, we leave that out because they use it.
We're not leaving it out. We're downplaying it to show the global importance of everything. One is not more important than another, no. So I'll downplay it. Okay. And the Jewish... Now, what do we say next? Very unusual. V'shomu v'nei Yisrael, es ha-shabbas la'asais... Esa Shabbos L'Doros and Jerusalem. Hear any two more words going on here? And the children of Israel are going to keep the Sabbath, but to make the Sabbath an eternal covenant for all their generations. Why are we saying the word Shabbos over and over again? We've got to talk about this. And the Jewish people are going to observe the Sabbath to make the Sabbath for generations an eternal covenant. We've already said what they're going to talk about, so just say make it a bris. The Ibn Ezra explains the word Vashomru literally mean to guard for the word Shmirah. Because you've got to make sure to remember Shabbos during the week so as not to forget that it's coming. So you've got to organise your work schedule. In fact, we even name the days of the week, how many days away from Shabbos they are, so we don't forget it. You've got to make some weekly thing to say, I've got to do this before Friday, because when Friday comes along, I'm not going to have time because it's Shabbos. So you're observing the Shabbos on Wednesday. You're preparing for Shabbos on Wednesday. I've got to think, I better do this now, because I won't have time for Shabbos. So therefore, you're really bringing Shabbos into it. That's what the word Vashomru means, according to Ibn Ezra. The Rekayach says, it hints at the fact that one must add time from the weekday onto Shabbos. That's to Sefer Shabbos, where you've got to bring Shabbos in, even a microsecond earlier than you need to increase or extend Shabbos into the week. That's an interesting idea. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that Vashomru means to wait and anticipate. That's an interesting translation, isn't it? You should look forward to Shabbos with an appetite, an anticipation, and it's not a burden, but a joy that you can't wait for. That's what Vashomru means, to anticipate the Sabbath. Interesting, no? Okay, what else does it mean? Not only that one observes Shabbos personally, but ensures that others observe Shabbos. You guard Shabbos by making legal fences, as not to desecrate Shabbos, even unintentionally. make up Muktza, make up rules like Karfaith and Karmelis to protect against Rishasa Yochid and Rishasa Rabim, as we've been learning in Haitzah, make up rabbinic concepts to protect the sanctity of the Shabbos. Now, it's an interesting thing. For Shomru v'nei Israel, Esa Shabbos l'asos Esa Shabbos. Why is there double hair? And the Jewish people will observe the Sabbath to make the Sabbath. What's going on? Why is Shabbos mentioned so many times? Gemara Yuma Pei Hei on a base, Yuma Pei Hei on a base, says that the observance of Shabbos should bring observance to further Shabbosos. One Shabbos causes another Shabbos to be kept. You can even break a Shabbos. How am I allowed to break Shabbos to save a life? Why is it that if someone's drowning, I can save his life and break Shabbos?
Because that comes first. I don't know what's
why.
So you can keep more Shabbos.
I'm only saving his life because if he's alive, he can now keep Shabbos. So the kashas ask, what happens if he knows terminally ill and he's not going to make it to the end of the week? Oh. Isn't that a good question? You're a doctor and this guy's dying on Monday. There's no way he's going to make it to Saturday. Can you jump in to save his life on Monday? Excellent. So the answer is, you think you're not in charge of life and death.
Yeah.
You have to say at the end of the day, even though you've got mummish, a piece of paper, you're a consultant and you're saying, excuse me, that's it, you know, the guy. I've got a computer algorithm and we've put it through the system and he says he's a goner and in fact we'll clear his hospital bed, you know, already. Excuse me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in charge, you go and save his life because it's only down to him. So therefore, that's why you can say, even if you know the guy's not going to make it, you still do it because, again, the reason I'm breaking Shabbos, I heard from Rabbi Zev Leff, the most beautiful thought on this point in all of Gola. He said a beautiful idea. He said it's like a nuclear substation. Imagine a nuclear power plant like Sellafield. He says that place has to be guarded left and right, just like we have to guard Shabbos. Why? Because it's such an important thing. If something goes wrong, Chas v'Shalom, could you imagine all the nuclear fallout? Mama should decide. Like, they've had in Japan with that tsunami, they had a melt. Chernobyl. And Chernobyl. Those are two things where all countries started rethinking, actually, we shouldn't build a nuclear thing anymore because it's so bad if they go wrong and the whole area becomes an exclusion zone and it destroys, like, it's mummish dangerous. So obviously, it's got, did I tell you I went to the beach outside Sellafield? There's a beautiful beach there and you go and there's a shipwreck on the beach. And even though it's by the beach of Sellafield, all the nuclear waste is buried on the dunes by the beach. And it's guarded by armed guards walking around with machine guns guarding the rubbish, the nuclear waste, because it could be stolen and put in to make something called a dirty bomb, which they just don't need. So they guard the junk. So I was walking by the beach. You go to the beach, it's on holiday, or it's up in...
Can you walk with
them? Yeah, there's a beach, there's kids there, people walking their dogs. It's Sellafield. I did, and I got pictures, and I zoomed in, and I took pictures of the Sellafield nuclear reactor. You can take it, you zoom in, and you, go, and you see, you think, yeah, 100%, I get that. And there's a shipwreck on the beach. There's a boat that's like, it's something to see. I was, when we stayed, I can't remember exactly, I've forgotten, when we went on holiday somewhere, it was near Sellafield, and we went to Sellafield, and we did that. Why are they guarding the place so stringently? Because it's very choshev. And why? Why is it so choshev? Because it brings tremendous power. A nuclear plant, at the end of the day, is only there because it generates incredible amounts of energy. So too, Shabbos is guarded by so many fences because it's like a nuclear reactor that generates a spiritual energy, which is incredible. The breakdown of a Shabbos, the machal of Shabbos, is like a nuclear reactor going into breakdown. It's a meltdown. It's the worst possible thing that can happen. The only time where I would deliberately break down. Could you imagine pressing the button to send a Chernobyl into Chernobyl meltdown? Why would anyone do that? To save another one. I'll melt down one to save it. If I'm going to lose two, I might as well save one. So I'll destroy one so I can keep the other. That's the only time we would think, why would you want to put a nuclear reactor into meltdown? Because otherwise two will go down. So I'll have to do this one to save that one. That's how choshev you have to... It's almost like a nuclear reactor. There's a mechilta, which is a halachic medrash on Shemais, and says that one who observes Shabbos is considered as if he made the concept of Shabbos. One who observes even one Shabbos is considered as if he made every single Shabbos from creation until the resurrection of the dead. Because if you tap into the energy of one Shabbos, you've technically tapped into them all, and you've justified every single Shabbos that has ever been built. That's a mechilta.
keep.
Very good. Yeah. You keep one, another one, you get kept, and Mashiach comes. That's right. Same idea.
That's why we only have to keep one Shabbos and Mashiach comes. Because everything follows through.
Keeping the same one.
Yeah. No. Because keeping the one Shabbos is effectively keeping all of them up to that date.
I thought that was about keeping three.
No. One brings two a second. That's how it works. L'dorasam baris olam. For all your generations, an eternal covenant. What's going on here? The Tzelusa de Avraham explains, this refers to the Shabbos of Olam Haba, which is activated by keeping the Shabbos in Olam Hazeh. And that's what it means, l'dorasam, in the plural. You're going to keep it here, and it'll make the eternal Shabbos there. The money that Hashem is using to make the fund for Olam Haba is coming out of your Shmir Shabbos every week. Because that's the ultimate Shabbos. How does the ultimate Shabbos come along? From all the Shabbos you've been keeping prior. The Lechem Rav quotes a Gemara in Yevamos, 121b, if anyone's interested. It says that if one observes Shabbos, that will ensure that Shabbos will be fulfilled for all descendants by one's descendants. If you do a proper Shabbos, you will keep the Shabbos in your Doros. That's what it means, La'asais es ha-Shabbos ha-Dorosam, to keep the Sabbath for generations. You keep it and you instill a desire for Shmir Shabbos in your bonim. It goes into their spiritual genetic makeup. The Lechem Rav quotes the Yismach Moshe, who says that in order to make a proper Shabbos, you've got to first observe one Shabbos, so the next Shabbos will be a Shabbos that follows 6 days of work. That's a very interesting idea. You see, you've got to have 6 days of work and then a Shabbos. But if you don't keep Shabbos, you've had 7 days of work. And a real Shabbos can only be on the tail end of 6 days of work, not seven. Here, this is an important point. A real good Shabbos is 6 days, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 6 days you do your work, and the seventh day, Shavas V'Nefash. Which means, what do you got to have? Six, stop. Six, stop. Six, stop. If you don't keep a Shabbos, you've got seven. Because that Shabbos you didn't keep. So you've got to keep one Shabbos first to kickstart the concept of 6 to 1, 6 to 1, 6 to 1. Because if you didn't keep the previous Shabbos, you've got 7 to 1. And that's not the ratio in life. So you've got to keep, that's what it means to keep two Shabbos. You've got to keep two, so really the second one you're keeping is considered genuine. You need the second one to be on the heels of only 6 days of work, not seven. Because if you work on a Saturday, so you're working Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then you keep a Sabbath, there's 6 days, instead of 6 days, 7 days of work, with a Sabbath on the end. So really, that Sabbath is the eighth day, instead of the seventh. It's 7 days of work and a Sabbath. That's not how HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. He did 6 days and stopped on the seventh. So you've kept one Shabbos, that's very good. All that means is that you haven't worked on that day. Now keep a week of 6 days of work, then keep a Shabbos, and then you've done 6 days followed by a Shabbos. That's what it means, everyone keeps two Shabbos. You've got to keep that Shabbos, plus a bit in the middle, plus a Shabbos, and then that second Shabbos is a real deal Shabbos. You hear that? It's an important point. So along these lines, for Shomu v'nei Yisrael as a Shabbos means that if b'nei Yisrael observe one Shabbos, that makes the following Shabbos la'asais es ha-Shabbos. Look, it's amazing. You get this from the words. Look at this. But how it. V'shomu v'nei Yisrael Shabbos, right? What does that mean? And the children of Israel should keep the Sabbath, comma. You with me? First mention of the word Shabbos here. Nothing up my sleeves. La'asois es ha-Shabbos. To make, to do the Sabbath. What's going on there? You've got to keep one Sabbath, so the second Sabbath is a genuine Sabbath following 6 weekdays. It's in the verse in Parshas Kisiso, that's why it's written like that. Amazing. The concept of the Sabbath needs 6 days prior to it where you worked, not seven, not eight. That's what you need. You need to have stopped, you need to have done 6 days of work, then you keep a Sabbath. That Sabbath needs those 6 days. Even a Kodesh Baruch Hu decided to do 6 days of work and then stop on the seventh. So he himself decided that it needs 6 days prior to the seventh. You want to mimic king, you need 6 plus 1, not 7 plus 1. You've got to do it his way. That's what it means. You've got to do Shabbos to do the Shabbos. The Shabbos of last week is what's giving you the energy to do 6 days in the middle so you can keep the Shabbos this week. If you missed Shabbos last week, then you're going to have to keep two more Shabbos. Because you've got to re-kickstart a proper week. Is this making sense? Are you... This makes sense. Are you...
Yeah.
That's an amazing idea. What this gives, of course, is meaning to our 6 weekdays. That's what it means the Sabbath permeates the week. You need the 6 days, otherwise Sabbath doesn't work. It's got to follow 6 days of malacha. That's the ratio. That's in the chemistry, you know, got these boffins with things like a chemical thing with a glass retort and a condensation tube and a Bunsen burner and things. And you got these like mad boffins and like smoke coming out of beakers and gas cupboards. And you're like, why is you only adding one drop of hydrochloric acid in there? Should I add two? He goes, no. If I added two, it would ruin the reaction. I've got a mummish, get it, bang on to make my final product. The final product of Shabbos is 6-to-1 ratio. You can't do 7 or 8-to-1. That means the first Shabbos you're keeping is only kickstarting the next 6 to make the next 6 work. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's why it's written, V'shomer v'nei so'lash Shabbos la'asos es Shabbos. Shabbos 1 is only there to prep for Shabbos 2. You break Shabbos 1, Shabbos 2 now can only prep for the next Shabbos after it. That was, oh, come on, don't tell me that wasn't worth coming. That was a worth coming moment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was all right, you know, you think twice before coming in. All right, now the Kedushas Levi Mebredichev explains that observing Shabbos gives life and power to the coming week, making it easier to observe the next Shabbos. Going into one Shabbos after a week which was pre-kept from another Shabbos makes it easier for you to do the next Shabbos. He explains this is how observing one Shabbos makes the next Shabbos easier. Okay. Let's look at the words la'asos es ha-Shabbos, because what does it mean to make the Sabbath? What does that mean? He's told you to make... We don't make the Sabbath. We observe it or we remember it. We don't make it. We've got to observe or remember or do Kiddush and Havdalah or refrain. We don't actually build it. We've got Lego blocks. What are you building, Shabbos? No. God builds Shabbos. You keep it. You know what I mean? So what's the word la'asos? The Baruch Sha'amar points out, the word la'asos is passive. Because there's a Gemara in Yevamos, which is Mem Zayin Amud Aleph 47a, that says, according to one opinion, the phrase va'aseh es tziponeha, and she shall make her nails grow, which refers to the Yafes Torah. If you go to war, and a Gentile woman makes herself very beautiful to specifically attract you away from the battlefield, which was a technique that's used in war. Do you know what I'm talking about? The woman, a beautiful form when you go to war, and she makes herself up. Are you allowed to marry her or not there? If you want to take her home to be your wife, you've got to let her nails grow. And you've got to let her not shave her head, and she has to wear ugly clothes. I.e. take away all of her, attractiveness. And if you still want to marry her despite that, then she's permitted to you. But otherwise, you've got to let her go. Because at the moment when you're in war, your Yetzer Hara is on overload. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows you can't control yourself. So he, as it were, adapted the Torah as a permission, as it were, for a Yetzer Hara at that moment. But really, that's not what he wants. And a child from such a union is juxtaposed with the mitzvah of Ben Sarah and Myra, a wayward and rebellious son, to tell you that even if you do allow yourself to go with this woman, then the child is probably going to be very likely to be rebellious. But you know what I'm saying? To be rebellious.
King David,
son Avshalom, was like that. Okay, that was Achitofel's response to him as to what's going on with his son. He said, Ben Sarimara, what do you want? You have his Torah. They're linked together. So there's also a verse into it. So what's going on? It's passive. You've got to let, it says, you va'aseh es tziponeha. You've got to let her nails grow. And we say, la'asais es ha-Shabbos. Making your nails grow means sitting back and doing nothing. You just let it happen. Well, if I'm making my nails grow, if someone says, I'm a guitarist, right? And some guitarists have to grow out their nails on their right hand to pluck the strings. I'm growing out my nails. What does that mean? Does that mean they've got a little machine and they put it on their nails and they have to, and it goes like that? No, you sit back, eat carrots, I don't know what, and they just grow. You know what I mean? They do it by themselves. It's a passive act. I'm making my nails grow by being alive. Do you know what I'm saying? Does this make sense? Yeah? That's like, it's passive. There's also a verse in Tehillim, 15:5. It refers to one who doesn't take interest on loans with the term oise eile. One who does this, even though it's a passive thing, he's a good man, he doesn't take interest. What does he do? He doesn't take ribbis. That is an active thing to do. But it's really passive. Okay, so that means passively, I'm keeping the Shabbos passively by refraining from melacha. That's one way of understanding it. Others see it as active. It's positive. The Targum Yerushalmi on Shemais, Lamed Aleph Tes Zayin, says that this phrase is actually saying that you've got to actively make Shabbos with food and with drinks and with all kinds of other pleasures for Einik Shabbos. You should go out of your way to make Shabbos nice. That's what it means to make Shabbos.
That's last thought, yeah?
Prepare. That's what he wants to say. He said, prepare. He goes, get some yummy fruits, get some yummy fish. Right, or like set aside beautiful things for Shabbos. If you've got a nice game you want to play, save it for Shabbos, as long as it's a Shabbos-friendly game, not like electronic battleships, so regular battleships. You know that, you know what I'm saying? Be careful of Boyer if you play battleships with bits. Don't worry, I'm going off topic. Sorry, I went off topic there. Coming back, the Interfiller says, you've got to make Shabbos nice by refraining from physical labour and involving yourself in the spiritual labor of Limud Torah. Chas v'shalom, just sit and read a novel. If you want to read a novel, do that during the 6 days of the week. Set aside Shabbos for reading some kind of Divrei Torah, even if it's like a Hamadiyah magazine, which is something endurable, but Vakasha, you want to go more deep into Peirushim, but Vakasha, it's a beautiful time, especially to learn about Hilchos Shabbos, is on Shabbos. It gives a great hiddah to Shabbos to learn Hilchos Shabbos on Shabbos. It's a beautiful thing to do. Yeah, it's a very, very, very good idea. You could read Adrian Berkeley's special weekly drosha. Save it for the Sabbath.
That's why I say it's better if it's printed.
Well,
you can read it on
WhatsApp.
The Lechem Rav explains that Shabbos is not just a cessation of work, but a fulfillment of the mitzvah to refrain from work. And that's the making. Bringing the weekday onto Shabbos is beginning by saying, I am doing stuff specifically to make Shabbos as much a possible part of my life. That's making Shabbos, even during the week. I'm buying stuff for Shabbos. I'm saving this for Shabbos. I'm bringing Shabbos into my weekday. La'asos is a Shabbos. It's an interesting thing. It's interesting. What about the words of Shomru and La'asos? To guard and to do. That alludes to, of course, Shomru v'zocher. Two loaves, two sheep, two sacrifices, Shomru v'zocher. There's all these concepts of duality with Shabbos. So he says that's it's a link there. Let's talk about, just last, and we'll finish with this, the word L'doyra Sam. For their generations. Now, we already talked about the fact that if you keep Shabbos, you're giving a segula to the next generation to keep Shabbos. But there's more. The one of the earliest Kabbalistic manuals, which is the first place we see mention of the spheres, of these spheres where Hashem emanates himself, is Sefer HaBahir. Sefer HaBahir, that's the first time we see the concept of the spheres.
Esser Sfirah?
The Esser Sfirah is first mentioned in the Sefer HaBahir. Yeah, no, it was written by Tana, Nechunya, I can't remember his name. It was written by one of the Tanoim. The Sefer Behir says that the Dora Sum is written without, it's actually earlier than the Tanoim even, the time of the Zugim, I'm not sure. I'll have to, if you want me to get back to it, it's very, very early. So Sefer Behir says that the Dora Sum was written without a Vav, and it could be written Lidiro Sum, for their dwelling. That's an interesting idea. So the Dora Sum, instead it could be Lidiro Sum, for their Dira. Why? Because you've got to prepare your home by cleaning it and setting the table in the honor of the Sabbath, just as a bride is brought into her husband's home. It's got to be prepared in a lavish manner. You've got to make it nice for her. So too, you've got to make your dwelling fitting for Shabbos. Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch says that Shabbos is eternal, as it's for all generations, and that is an eternal bris that can't change. And that's to counteract those that claim in modern times some of the laws of Shabbos simply aren't applicable anymore. Because in biblical times, they did things differently. They didn't eat pork because they didn't have fridges and there was a worm in the pig. And now we've got fridges, so it's fine. And they didn't light candles because they couldn't. They didn't have any matches. First of all, that's ridiculous. Because in those days, they used to have tinder boxes and it was easy to light matches and they used to have flints. And it wasn't so hard to rub two sticks together. This is, because it was so hard, that's considered a big labor. And today, flipping a switch is no labor. It's not about laboriousness. It's about externally creative activity as defined by the Torah that we learn out from the manufacture and maintenance of the Mishkan. That's what those things are. Rav Hirsch says that it's ridiculous since the Kodesh Baruch Hu decreed that Shabbos is eternal and kindling is prohibited. That implies that God didn't know that people would somehow develop methods of lighting fires more easily than they had, and then he made a mistake at the time when he issued the decree. For goodness sake. Now, in biblical times, fire could be created with tinder boxes, and it was very, very easy. It's not about that. It's about externally creative activities. The Rekeach, I'll finish with this, points out that the last letters, the Seif Tavis, of the words Es Hashabbos La'asais Es Hashabbos are five Sofs. Can you see that? Es Seif Hashabbos Seif. Can you see that? La'asais Es Hashabbos. So you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 letter like a tav, but a sav, right? It's a, you can see that, right? So soft. The last letter of the alphabet in all of them. Five. Next, it's like having five words all ending in Z. You got to point that out. Like, what's going on? You know, I can't think of any words that end in Z. But if you had buzz. It's like, what's all the Zs? Do you know what I mean? What's going on? He says, if you add up those five last soft letters, which each one is 400, you get 2,000. And what's 2,000? He says 2,000 is the number of amos you're allowed to have in a tchum. The Shabbos tchum is a boundary which is set up by the Torah that you're not allowed to move outside of your boundary, a tchum, known as tchum Shabbat. And you can only, it's 0.97 of a kilometer, which is approximately 10 minutes walk in a flat line on no grade straight. If you want to work it out. So 0.97 kilometers, and that's 2,000 amos, and you're allowed to walk in 2,000 amos from where you are. Let's say you're in a rural area in the middle of the countryside. I'm not talking in a town, because the whole town becomes your tchum. So I'm talking, if you're in the middle of the Lake District, nowhere, in the middle of nowhere, and you're on a hill, then you can walk 2,000 amos in a radius from your house. Now, the truth is, there's an alach sign on that. If you draw a circle and put it in a square...
You did that.
Yeah, if you draw a circle and put it in a square, you're allowed the corners of the square as well. So it's a little bit in the absolute diagonals. You're allowed a little bit more than 2,000, but you're only to 2,000 amos radius from your dwelling, and 2,000 is the gematria of all these letters together. So the place of your Shabbos is 2,000 amos. So when it says to do the Sabbath, you should keep the Sabbath. How are you going to do that? By being in your tchum. Especially if you want to link in what Sefer Behu says. L'dorosam is l'dirosam. It's for their dwelling. Their dwelling is amidst 2,000 amos. And this is alluded to by the five final letters of this very phrase. Rabbi Sai Be'ez Hashem will now be able to carry on with the words Beini Uvein Ben Israel Oisi La'olam, between me and between the nation of Israel. It should be an eternal sign forever next time. And in the interim, I wish you a wonderful and inspiring week. Looking forward to seeing you next